turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. I hope you have enjoyed going through the book of Acts. I've been through it many times, and these messages and studies and familiarizing yourself with these scriptures. Tonight we come to what's known as the message on Mars Hill. Paul leaves Berea, makes his way to Athens. Athens is a center of literature and sculpture and things like that. He finds himself in a totally new atmosphere. Man, everything's around him has changed, and Paul has moved into the city, and the Bible, and he finds himself amongst many idols in this city. Someone said Athens is a place of 30,000 idols and 10,000 people. More idols and more gods than they have people. It was easier to find a god than it was a person. Gods in homes, gods on streets, gods on the hilltops. Everywhere Paul looked, there was a god. They worshipped everything, and yet they worshipped nothing. Now Paul was stirred in the spirit, and it infuriated him as he looked at all these gods. And the Bible says he began to preach Jesus and the resurrection. Look at verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine of which you speak, Mars Hill, therefore you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and for the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we look at this scripture, Lord, that you'll speak to our heart. And God, we just give you the praise and the glory for everything. Lord, let your spirit guide us tonight. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Paul had a purpose and reason for visiting Athens. His purpose was simply to preach Jesus Christ. He wasn't there as a sightseer. He was on mission for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was a soul winner, and he wanted to declare the good news of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says he began to preach, and as he began to preach, two groups surrounded him. The Epicureans were the agnostics. They thought maybe there was a God, just not sure what kind of God he was, and didn't know if you could know God. So their basic philosophy was one of pleasure and indulgence in things. Then the Stoics, well, they took the view of enduring life. Everything was God. Every man was some kind of his own God. And if they could just make it through the best you could. Well, so they encountered Paul, and they encountered his preaching, and they thought, what will this, they say, babbler say? That word babbler is an interesting word. It means picking. What is this man who is picking through the his philosophies, what is he about to say? Does he have something new? And they were wondering what kind of ideas and thoughts he had about God. And they'd come up with basically calling him, a bird brain, a small man with a small brain. That's what that babbler. Well, Paul starts a rather interesting and complimentary manner towards them. He says, I know you are people that have many gods. You're religious because you got many gods here. And there's all kinds of God, even one to the unknown God. Now, folks, we have many gods today in America that we don't see. And they're everywhere. Tonight, about 3 o'clock, we had the thing for Andrea here and shower, and we went over and moved some stuff and got it all back to her house. And I thank y'all for doing that for her. But, you know, I had a headache, and I thought, well, you know, man, I hurt so bad, I think I'll just call Richard and see if he'll preach tonight. And then I don't know, man. I said, no, I can't do that tonight. Tonight's Super Bowl. Everybody will think I'm home watching the Super Bowl. And so I wasn't about to stay home. I said, Lord, you got to get rid of this headache. Let's go. So I went home and sat in my chair, and I sat there, and I thought, man, it's got to go. It's got to go. And sure enough, it did. And, you know, we have a lot of unknown gods tonight, and a lot of people are watching their God tonight. But, you know, they didn't know if you could know God. And Paul says you can know God. It's possible to really know God. And I thank God that we have a God tonight. I think that I praise God that we serve a true and living God that you can actually talk to, you can actually know. He speaks to your heart through His presence and Spirit. I just loved Irene's testimony. She's so on fire for God, and you can just see it radiating over her face. Irene is a blessing to me and Rhonda. She comes in, and she works there in the office, and, you know, I just thank you, Irene. I appreciate all that you do. You know, and it shows in her life. And you can know God. And Paul says, you know, the God you do not know is the God who indeed you can know. Now, I just imagine these people were really looking at Paul like a calf looks at a new gate, wondering, what in the world is he talking about? And he starts talking about the God of creation. In verses 24 and 25, he says, God who made the world and everything that's in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He says, God is a God of creation. He is a God that you can know. Just look around you. He's created everything. Everywhere you look, belongs to God. It all begins with God. In the beginning, the Word says, in the beginning, God created. He is the God of creation. He's the source of creation. And in these last days, there seems to be a growing understanding, especially in the academic world, in the community, about God. I heard a scientist say that he became a believer because he looked at science and he looked at creation, and there's so much order in the universe. It just didn't happen. People want to say it was just a big bang and it all blew out there. Well, if it was a big bang, I've always heard God was in the big bang because He created it, and it all blew apart just like He wanted it, and it all came to being just like He wanted it. This vastness, look at the vastness of the universe, folks. Man, it amazes me to go out to the farm at night and sit out there and look up at all the stars in the darkness of the sky and just think, oh, how great God is. And man, watch the sun set and just think, how great my God is, that He can paint the sky and all of the red and the beauty. Man, God is a great God. In just a little while, watch the sun go down and the moon come up over the horizon. And once again, it gives light to the darkness of the world. And that big old moon, just think how God is. And that's just the closest ones to us. And think the world has many, 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 you know, of those things, stars. Man, how great God is. But not not only is God a God of greatness, when I look at our life, and I heard Rowena give that testimony about the heart, and just think how fragile that heart is in our body. It runs, you know, it has oxygen to make it, it pumps and pumps and beats and beats. And I think how small man is, and how God designed us down to the very little part of DNA. It just don't happen, folks. There's a creator. There's a creator. And that's what Paul is telling them. It just didn't happen. The God that you don't know is the true God. He's a God of creation. You see? Not only that, he's a creator and he's a sustainer of our life. Oh, Paul starts talking about God just didn't create. Folks, our God is involved in our life. He's involved in every breath that we take. Every breath. I sat down at the hospital last night with Mr. Stone, and he was saying he couldn't get his breath. And when you don't have any breath, you know, it makes you fearful. You can't breathe in, and you can't get any oxygen in your lungs, and you begin to fight just trying. And I think, oh, how God gave us those lungs, and he wants us to have that air, and he made that air and that oxygen so that we could live. He's involved in our life. Verse 26 is an interesting verse. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined, look at that, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, oh, though he's not far away from each one of us. Paul says God has determined the times. He's determined when you would be born. You know, God knew exactly when you was going to be born. Man, isn't that something that God knew? And I you know what? He knows exactly when you're going to die. It's not going to catch him by surprise. It may catch you by surprise, but it won't catch God by surprise. And he tells us that he's not far from each one of us right now. He has determined the bounds of our habitation. He knows where you live, you see. He knows where you're going to live. Our God is such a great God that he provides for us our food. I love that passage of Scripture when it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." You see, he's our food, he provides our air, he provides everything the human body needs. God is the source of it. He is he's our sustainer. He is the sovereign God of creation, of all heaven and all earth. He's got it all in his control. And you know what? I don't care what's going on in this world, what the circumstances may be, it doesn't catch God by surprise. He is in charge of it. He's in charge. God is in control of all creation. And Paul says, listen, the God that you don't know is the creator, and he's the sustainer of life. He knows where you men live. He knows all about you. And he wants you to know him. And that's the reason Paul was there, so that he could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every one of them, that they might come to know the true living God. And then he says, not only is he in creation, he's the incarnation. Look at verse 28. For in him, he says, for in him, we live and move and have our being. Folks, we are his offspring. Man, now he's talking about humanity. Someone always says, do you mean that everybody is a child of God? Well, now, let me explain this once again. I've told you this before. In the sense that God created all people, God is the Father of all people. He's the creator of all people. He knows everyone. But in the sense that all people are redeemed and been born into the family of God. Not so. We are his offspring in the sense that he created us in his image. We are his offspring. But something happened. Man chose to sin. And across the human race, man fell into the darkness, the Bible says, of sin. Man's fall in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered in, and God's offspring fell into sin. Sin is in this world, and let me tell you something. Humanity bleeds today because of the darkness of sin. But we chose sin. God created us to have a relationship with him, and we chose to disobey. Our cities are filled with drugs. Our cities are filled with violence. Our cities are filled with immoral sins of the mankind. You look around, everywhere you look, there is sadness and sorrow, and you can contribute it to sin, sin, sin. I thank God I've been saved, saved, saved. Brother Bill has a saying, it's good to be saved, brother. And I believe that, I know that, I thank God that I'm saved. The Bible says in verse 31, look at verse 31, because he has appointed a day. That's an interesting word, that he has appointed a day. Man, by that man, the Bible says, we are his begotten. Let me say this. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he wasn't like you and me. The Bible says he was born of a virgin. He was born without sin. The man who knew no sin died for us who sinned. The man who died on the cross, Jesus Christ, Paul says, the man who paid the price for our sins, he is God. He's telling these people, this is the God that you do not know. This God that you claim unknown can be known. All you have to do is look at creation. He created it. He's the incarnation. He made you. And he wants you to have a relationship with him. He is God, and you can know him today. Don't you reckon they was looking at him pretty strange because they didn't understand all of that? Man, look at verse 29 and 30. I think it's interesting. Brother Bill and I talked about these. I think you and I talked about these this week. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day, he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. We were talking this week about, I was reading this scripture here and thinking about the scripture and different scripture. And you know, God says, to those who know him and do not do what he has commanded us to do. It'll be easier on Sodom and Tyre and Sodom. Day of judgment. And I got to thinking about that, folks. America, God has blessed us. We're in the Bible Belt. We know what we should do. We've read the gospel. We've heard it preached. All you have to do is turn on the television or radio station any day during the week, and if you'll listen, you'll hear the word of God. There's a lot of quacks out there, too, that you might not hear it. But listen, you ought to understand, if you've been in church, you ought to be wise enough to tell the right from the wrong. And folks, God says, listen, you who understand, you who know Jesus Christ and don't do what he asks you to do, we're in for a tough time. He says, he's our God, and you know him. So we see the creation here in the incarnation. In verse 30 and 31, now notice Paul begins to talk about the resurrection, and he moves to the very heart of the Christian faith when he comes to this. You see, it is the resurrection which makes Christianity Christianity, folks. Jesus Christ could come, he could have died, but if he hadn't arose from the dead, we would be without any hope. You see, he overcame. You take the resurrection out of the gospel, and you really just kind of gutted the meaning and purpose of the gospel. Jesus Christ told his disciples, you know, I'm going to be lifted up, I'm going to be sacrificed, I'm going to be buried. But listen, you don't lose hope, for on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Folks, you know what they did? They lost hope there for a while. But through the resurrection, when those women came back and shouted, he's not here, the grave is empty. Man, don't you know the hope came alive? Don't you know the words that he spoke to them came alive? Jesus said, listen, guys, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And you know, they didn't get it. But the resurrection, when he arose, man, when he came back, he vindicated his word. His word is so true that every promise that he ever made in the Bible, folks, even his raising from the dead, which we would have considered, you can't do it. But he did. He arose from the dead and he vindicated his word. When he said, every promise that I make you, I'll fulfill. Folks, I believe God's word right through the very end. When he said he's coming back, I'm looking for him. I don't know about you, but every day I look for him. It's beginning to be a struggle in this old world. Everything seems to be going downhill. He said it would. I believe it. But I also know that at the very end, we're going to win. Because we're on his side. I'm on his side. I hope you're on his side. Now, Paul ties some realities to the resurrection. Look what he says in verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. That's retribution, folks. Appointed a day, judge the world. I said it a while ago, one day, guess what? You and I will meet God. I don't know when. I know it's going to be one day. When the last song is sung and the last invitation is given, you will meet God. And if I understand it right, every detail of your life will be given. How will you stand in judgment? If God comes tonight and we're caught up to meet him in the air, we're going to go to the judgment seat, you know? And you give an account of your life, the life that God has given you on earth, the race to run. I love it when old Paul says, I am ready, Lord. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. He did. I've run the race. Now I'm ready to receive the crown, which the righteous judge will give me. And not only to me, but everyone who loves his appearing. Not everyone would love it tonight if he came back, would you? There's a lot of them tonight that if he came back tonight, they wouldn't love it. Because they're not in his house. They're not giving them their life. And they would give an account before God of the way they have lived. Retribution. Righteousness. Now, you can stand before God in your own righteousness, which I don't want to do that. Are you, like the song said, you can stand in his righteousness. I am crucified with Christ. Folks, I want to stand in Christ's righteousness. Praise God, I settled my case a long time ago. Romans 8:1 says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And folks, tonight, if you're here and you're not in Christ, you're outside of Christ, you need to get in Christ tonight. You need to be able to say, I have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died with him. And every day that I live, I have to live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. One day you'll stand before God. And if you stand before God in your righteousness, people tell me all the time, well, preacher, I'm living a good life. I haven't ever bothered anybody. I don't go to church, but I don't do anything wrong. You know what? Their righteousness, I tell them, your righteousness, the Bible says, is a filthy old rag. Now, I think of filthy rags because sometimes I get out in the garage and I work, and yeah, I get dirty all over when I work. I get all over me. If there's any oil around, it's going to get on me. I was looking at my pants tonight. I've been sitting in the house all day, and I got something on them. I don't know how I get it on them. Rhonda don't know how I get it on them. I just get it on me. I can just get close to oil or grease, and it's just there. Sticks to like a magnet. But you know what? That's the way filthy rags are. Dirty in the sight of God. Filthy rags. And you know, I don't demand my rights because I don't really deserve what I get. God gives me his grace. God gives me his love. You know what he says here? Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. You come and you are sorry for your sin. You come to God in his righteousness and repentance. God, the Bible says, has commanded every man to repent. Rich and poor, cultured and unlearned. You know, repent, he says. Do you know God tonight? Paul says the God that you call unknown, he can be known. He says, you look at creation around you, he's the creator. You look at that. He is the sustainer of life. He is the incarnation. And he is also our righteousness. Would you come to him tonight if you've never trusted him tonight? You've got a chance to come to him. You've got a chance to get your life right tonight with God. You know, I don't know who's here. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved. Paul says, you need to know God. You need to repent. Simply turn your life around. Give it to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to recommit your life to him. Folks, we all do that, don't we? Every day we need to just confess. Every day we have to live. I like that song says, every day I have to die. See? To myself so that I can live through Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight for you are the resurrection and the life. Lord, we thank you tonight that you give us hope, security in Christ Jesus. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you, or there's someone here tonight that is away from you, Lord, let them come home tonight. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.